Philippians 15, if you brought your Bible. If not, they'll put it on the screen for us. Yeah, the scripture says that children are the blessing of the Lord. And happy are the folks that have their quiver full of them. Well, we've got a pretty good group. And that is, the Lord doesn't come beforehand, that's the next generation. You know, next thing you know, you and I will be leaving here. And it'll be up to them. And we want to have a right foundation in them. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. It'll take seat and root in them. They were portraying and depicting the scriptures of the Master's crucifixion and death and burial and resurrection. Now, the resurrection is a very, very, very big deal. Very big. And this entire chapter in the New Testament, chapter 15, the 1 Corinthians, is given to this subject. It's like 58 verses or so. The whole thing is talking about the resurrection. And so have you got time to look at it for a little bit and remind ourselves? In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the first verse, and they'll put it on the screen for us. He said, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. There is only one gospel. And the scripture warns us in Galatians and other places about an alternate gospel or about another gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And so that's going to be an obvious point for the enemy to attack, to try to stop the gospel or change the gospel or alter it somehow. Well, we should be preaching exactly the gospel that Paul preached. Yes. Right? Yes. The one he's talking about here. The one that the scripture reveals. And that's he's about to tell us. Verse 2, he said, this is the gospel, he said, that I preached, by which you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. In order to be saved, you have to hear this gospel. You've got to believe it, and you got to hold on to it.
Yes. Yes.
Can you see this? Verse 3, I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What happened with the Master was prophesied centuries and centuries and centuries before it happened in detail. In detail. How he would be on the cross. How he would be pierced. How his side would be pierced. I mean, the crown of thorns. I mean, the detail is astounding, and it was given centuries and centuries before it happened. Proof of the inspiration of the Scriptures. And then why did he die? For our sins. Everybody said out loud, he died for our sins.
For my sins.
That's why he did. That's why it had to be. Keep going. Back up. Let me read it again. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, we're talking about the gospel. Verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel. Amen. And in verse 5, he said, and he was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So he's saying, this wasn't just one or two people that said they saw him after he was raised from the dead. Huh? He said Peter saw him. James saw him. All of the apostles saw him. He said, I saw him, you know, on the road to Damascus, he did. And he said at one time, 500 people at one time saw him. So this was after he was raised from the dead. And this whole thing is talking about, do we believe that he raised from the dead? Is resurrection from the dead possible? Keep reading and you see that's what he's dealing with. He said, least of the apostles, that's not, you know, fit to be called because I persecuted the church of God. And he did. And keep reading. We're going to keep going. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Skip down to verse 12 for time's sake. He said, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, that was already an issue back then, you know, hundreds of years ago. And certainly it is today. There are many people who will say, well, that's just preposterous. That's just fantasy. Because when you're dead, you're dead. That's it. The end. But notice what he says about that, because the answer is the same today as it was then.
Yeah.
Are there people today who are saying there is no resurrection?
Yes.
Nobody has ever raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Nobody ever will. It just doesn't happen. It can't happen is what they're saying. Keep going. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Why? Because he became a man.
Mm-hmm.
He became a human being.
Yeah.
And he really died.
Yes.
Yeah.
His body was dead.
Yeah.
Keep going. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain.
Yeah.
And your faith is also vain. Keep going. And we are found false witnesses of God because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead don't rise. So now this is a big deal. Keep going. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. That's what he's already said it, but he's coming back to it again. Keep going. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain.
Wow.
You are yet in your sins. Now here's the thing. You'll have people who say, well, you know, I don't know about all that, you know, virgin birth and that resurrection, you know, and is it really necessary? I mean, I believe Jesus lived. I believe he was a good man. I believe he was moral, and taught a lot of good things. Isn't that the main thing? No. No. If you don't believe he raised from the dead, you shouldn't be in the building. I'm serious. Preaching is useless. Faith is useless. Baptism is useless. Church is useless. If he didn't raise from the dead, there is no Christianity. There is no heaven reward. There's nothing after this life. And if there's nothing after this life, you're a fool to be messing with this. So yeah, this is a big deal, right? Whether he was raised from the dead or whether he was not, it's everything, right? And if you don't believe it, you're not saved. You're not okay. You might say, well, I'm a good person. If being good was enough to get you saved, Jesus didn't have to come for you. No. Nobody has been good enough to be saved based on their goodness. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one God. Don't believe all the stuff you hear. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, that the children are portraying today. Oh, hallelujah. It's exciting. The truth. will make you free. The truth acted on, received, believed, acted on will save you. Oh, somebody say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for the truth. He said, if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain. Verse 17, you are yet in your sins, and they which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Christians who have died, that was the end of them. It shouldn't be any talk about heaven. Shouldn't be any talk about anything after this life. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He said, if what's happening now in this life is the only thing we got with our Christianity, we are pitiful. We are miserable. Oh, but verse 20, but now is Christ risen. Christ is risen from the dead. Oh, somebody say, he is, he is, he is. Risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits. You know why that's significant? If there's a first fruit, there's a second fruit. There's a 9,034 fruit. Huh? And my number's in there somewhere, and your number's in there somewhere. That's the whole thing. If he raised, we will be raised. And become the first fruits of them that slept, talking about physical death. So keep reading. He said, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. Some more people are going to be raised. Some more bodies are going to be raised from the dead. Who? Those that are Christ's.
Yes.
Are you Christ's?
Yes.
Do you belong to him?
Yes.
If not, today is the day.
Yes.
Right? To get it changed. Come on, somebody say, I am Christ's.
I belong to him.
Oh, thank you, Lord. He said, verse 23 again. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. There's coming an end. An end to everything that's happening on the earth. An end to all of this. An end to a time and season of grace where the gospel is preached, where people may believe, where people may receive. This will not go on indefinitely. There's coming an end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, there's coming a time when there will be no more kingdom of any other kind except the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And it shall never end. Amen. An eternal kingdom. Keep reading. He must reign, this is Jesus, till he has put all enemies under his feet. The devil, every demon, every evil spirit, every human being that has joined themselves to the evil ones, every angel that has been deceived and rebelled and joined, all of them are coming to an end. There's coming a time when they will no longer be a problem to humanity. That they will all be, put away, separated, judged. And verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is not a friend. No. I've heard preachers say, yeah, God took them in sweet death. No, death ain't sweet. Death is an enemy. We were not designed to die. The reason we age and die is because of sin and the curse. The original design in Adam and Eve was every cell was to be completely replaced with a new one and never decompose, never age, never go down. We were designed to be eternal beings. Our spirit still is. And thank God our body is going to be fixed. Right now, there's death all around. This earth is filled with death. Everything dies. The grass dies. Flowers die. Animals die. Everything is dying. That's not how God created it. It's the result of sin. The wages of sin is death and the curse. But what happened with Jesus demonstrated his total victory over everything the enemy had done, over all the results of sin. Why? Because he overcame death. Oh, hallelujah. He died, but he triumphed over it. Over death. He has been raised. Somebody say he is risen. He is risen. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. Skip down, let's see, to verse 35. All of this is wonderful, but if I read it, I'll want to preach on it. Verse 35, he said, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Verse 36, he says, fool. That sounds like who? Mr. T, right? That was. He's asking an unbelieving question. See, smart attitude. Smarty attitude. Back up to verse 35. They're saying, well, dead gonna rise how? And the body's completely decomposed, or it's the bones have been bleached out in the desert and molecules scattered to the four winds. How? How? See, that's an unbelieving how. No way. That's crazy talk. And the Lord's answer to that is, fool. That which you sow is not quickened except it die. He said, you already know. You already understand this. Look at verse 37. That which you sow, you don't sow the body that shall be. You sow the bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. When the body is buried, it's just like planting a seed. All of the essence of that, God knows what it is and where it is. And when his power transforms it, something will come out of that that's different from the original.
Yes.
Huh? Yeah. Different from the seed that was sown. Keep reading. God gives it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So any issues that you got with your current body, don't bother about it. It will all be fixed in the resurrection. Huh? It'll all be fixed. verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. This is a scriptural rejection of evolution teaching.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Because origin of the species, tries to tell you that all life came from a single cell organism, and that, you know, fish became animals, animals became people. The scripture flatly contradicts that.
Yeah.
It says all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another different kind of flesh of beasts, another different kind of flesh of fishes, another kind of bird. What does that mean? Never did a fish become a bird. Never has, never will. Never did a bird become a beast or a tiger or a camel. Never has an animal become a human being.
That's right.
Never has. Nope. Never will. Somebody said, well, yeah, but that's science. No, it's a belief based on suppositions.
Yeah.
A theory is not proven.
That's right.
Well, it's been proven. No, it hasn't.
Yeah.
Be honest. Look at it. Read it. You'll also find out they've changed it a half a dozen times in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know why?
Yep.
Lies are inconsistent.
Yeah.
They can't help but be. Somebody said, well, I just can't believe what you're saying. You could if you chose to.
Yeah.
That's right.
Don't say you can't. That's not saying it right. Believing is a choice.
Yes.
And believing is not an intellect thing. It's a heart thing.
Yes.
The Bible said, trust in the Lord with your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. As much as you may think you know, there's most of it you don't know. And so you need to go use your head, learn what you can, but go by your heart. Trust what you get in your heart, and your heart knows its maker. Whether your head understands it or not, when your heart hears the truth, it goes, yes. Not a voice, but a knowing and a witness on the inside of you. Trust that. Don't ignore your own heart. Don't reject your own heart. Even if your head doesn't understand it, trust what you get in your own heart. And if you're honest, when you hear what we're reading today, your heart's going, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right.
Amen.
And all you've got to do is say, okay,
that's right.
I believe, I receive, hallelujah. You believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Keep reading. He said, there are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Boy, this is some exciting things. Celestial means heavenly. Terrestrial is earthly. The glory of the celestial is one glory. The glory of the terrestrial is another glory. Keep reading. There's one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another glory of the stars. Now he's talking about the brilliance of the light and the difference in glory. For one star differs from another star in glory. Keep going. So is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. I mean, this is what happened with Jesus. I mean, he was sown. He died. Everybody expected the body to decompose, but it was raised.
Yes.
Keep going. It is sown in dishonor. I mean, he was executed like a common criminal. They would have cast his body anywhere except for Joseph, you know, of Arimathea, a rich man. How many think God could use some rich people here and there to do some things? Certainly. He had the money to have his own, mausoleum, hewn out tomb, and he put Jesus' body in there.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I know one Jewish comedian one time who had become a Christian was talking about it, and somebody said that somebody asked Joseph Arimathea, you let Jesus use your brand new million-dollar tomb or whatever, and he said, "Oi, it was just for the weekend." he said, verse 42, it's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it is raised in power. How are our bodies going to be raised from the dead? How could it be? What if the body's laying there and decomposed for 100 years? How? Same power that created the stars, that created the planet, same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise us. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. From the dead. He said it is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. When our body is changed, it'll no longer be natural. It'll no longer be subject to corruption. It'll no longer be mortal. It will not age. It will not deteriorate. Does this sound good to anybody? Oh, hallelujah. It won't be subject to any type of disease or deformity or decay. Doesn't the Bible talk about it, about the heaven where no more sorrow, no more crying, no more dying, no more pain? This is what we've got to look forward to. If we just keep it together for a few more days, we got it made. Huh? Just stay with Jesus. Stay with your faith in Him. There's so much here, but He said, verse 51, He said, I show you a mystery. I went too far. Verse 46, howbeit that which is first is not first is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterwards, the spiritual. The first man of the earth is earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. That's the way we are now. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. That's what we've got to look forward to. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah. Now I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Our future, the place we're going, who we will be around, what we will be involved in is so clean, it's so pure, it's so holy, these cannot go there. They got to be changed. I said they got to be changed so that they become incorruptible, immortal. He said, I show you a mystery, verse 51, we shall not all sleep. That's talking about death. But we shall all be changed. Somebody say, I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be changed. It's going to happen quick. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Look at your hand. Look at your body. Say, it's going to be changed. It's going to be changed. It's going to be changed. Going to be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Remember, he said death was the last enemy. There's going to be put underfoot. And then he just, Paul is inspired by the Spirit. And he gets sassy. He gets sassy. He said, death, where's your sting? How, bad boy? Where's your sting? I don't see it. I don't see it. Grave, where's your victory? You ain't got no victory. You ain't got no victory. Over me, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Victory over death. Victory over sin. Victory over corruption. Victory. Somebody say victory. Somebody say victory. Glory to God. Go to Philippians in closing. Is this something to shout about or is this, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take some time and read this 15th chapter carefully again, at home and let it get in you. Let it minister to you. In Philippians, he makes this comment about the body of Christ and how it relates to us. This is Philippians 3 and verse 20. He said, our conversation is in heaven. Now, that's a King James translation. Actually, that word conversation is from the word polituma. It's the word we get our word politics from and all that kind of thing. It's translated in other translations, citizenship. Yeah. Oh, wow. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Keep going. Who shall do what? change our vile body. He said, well, how dare you? Talk about call my body vile. Hey, come on, you know. This thing, you always got to be messing with it. Is that right? Just about time you get it clean, you got to clean it up again. Is that right? And if you don't do certain things, it smells. And you always got to be watching because, it'll be too fat or too thin or too something or, you know. And from heaven's perspective, he just goes, Vile. That's why we can't just go to heaven with this thing. It's got to be changed. It's got to be. And God didn't create it this way. Not his fault. It was sin and the curse. He will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. How's he going to do it? According to the working whereby he's able to subdue all things to himself. The same power he created the heavens with. The same power he overcame death with. If you believe that, you believe he can fix this.
That's right.
Listen to Young's literal translation of this. It says, for our citizenship is in the heavens. You know, didn't the Lord say when the disciples came back shouting because they said the demons are subject to us in your name? And he said, that's great, but you ought to really be rejoicing that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. What is that? That's also a roster of the citizenship of heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, my name is in the book.
I am a citizen
of heaven. Did you know you have property there?
Yes.
The Lord has gone to prepare a place for you and for me. Oh, somebody say thank you. Thank you, thank you. Whence also the Savior we await, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall transform the body of our humiliation. That's a little bit nicer way than to say vile. It's the body of humiliation. And it has been a bit humiliating. To its becoming conformed to the body of his glory according to the working of his power, even to subject to himself the all things. What kind of body do we have to look forward to? Just like Jesus glorified, resurrected body. Now this body can do things. This body, he appeared in a different appearance and a different form in different places. And yet he was able to sit down at the table and eat fish with them.
Yeah.
Huh? And then you see him and then you don't. He's gone. And then, you know, he said, well, touch me though. They said, well, he's a spirit. He said, no, put your hand right here. Touch me, feel me. A spirit don't have flesh and bone like I do.
That's right.
Oh, this old body we got right now. This vile one. This humiliating one. It's got some severe limitations. Is that right? It gets tired so quick, so easy, can get out of sorts with so many things. Oh, but when the glory of God at the last trump powers over it and we are changed, our body will be just like his and it will be capable of all kind of amazing things because it is just like his glorious body. Now who would want to be stubborn and reject the gospel and miss out on that? Somebody say, not me. I hope not anybody in this room, not anybody in Sarasota, not anybody watching online. So everybody, stand up if you would. And let's speak faith. Let's release faith that we do believe what we have heard today. We have seen the children portray the gospel to us. We have read and heard what Paul, by the Holy Spirit, described as the gospel. And it all comes to the culmination, the glory of the resurrection. Everybody, please, everybody, don't be silent. This is not the time to play cool or be, you know, reluctant or drag your feet. We're talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about glorified or not. I mean, this is the big deal. You can get a lot of things wrong in life and still be okay. Not this. You got to get this right. Close your eyes. Say it out loud, everybody with me. Father God, I do believe in you. I choose to believe. My heart knows my Creator. My heart knows truth when I hear it. And I choose to believe. I believe you have sent your Son, Jesus, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Son of God, that He lived, that He went to the cross, that He bore my sins. He died and was dead, body buried, days and nights. But you have raised Him from the dead. I believe it. You have raised Him from the dead. Triumphant over death, over hell, over sin, over the grave, over all the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for us. Jesus, I receive you as my only Lord, my only Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for saving me. Oh, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Give glory to God. Give praise to the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing, He is Lord. He's risen from the dead, and He is Lord.
For He is Lord.
Oh, sing it out loud, everybody.
He
come to the front. Are you happy today that you're saved, that you're right? If you prayed that prayer for the first time with us, something amazing has happened in you. or if you got away but you came back to the Lord today, don't rush out of here. The scripture said, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. It's not okay to try to hide your faith. And you won't find an easier place to confess your faith than in here. So please, if you came to the Lord or you came back, don't rush out. Come down here to the front. These folks are ready to celebrate with you. You need to tell somebody, you need to testify that I am a Christian. I am a believer. I am not ashamed of the Lord. And you need to get started doing that where it's easy. Here. Here. Hallelujah. Celebrate His resurrection.